It's GAK's Gear of the Year!
Hello and welcome to the GAK.co.uk Guitar Shop Podcast. I'm your host Mark Packham, who is with me this evening.
Hello, my name's Jay. I'm the assistant manager here in the guitar store.
Hello, my name's Matt and I am the manager.
And I'm Joe and I'm here for bass related queries.
It's quite nice pretending that we, like, it's quite weird pretending we didn't just do
a podcast
this like 5 minutes ago.
Don't break the illusion.
Oh, sorry. The only thing we did.
I can't believe
in between,
I haven't seen you guys for a whole week.
I know. The only thing that we did in between.
No,
it's a day.
It's a day.
The only thing we did in the break between this podcast and the previous podcast is watch that YouTube video of Star Trek clips making up Let It Snow.
Make It Snow.
But it says Make It Snow. Make It Snow, not Make It Snow. Make It Snow. It's great. You should watch it. It's very funny.
What you need now is a video that mashes up clips of the original singer of Make It Snow doing
like
the script to
doing the, There Are Four Lights.
Something like that, yeah. Or just all like, you know, Farpoint Station, do the whole first episode. Anyway,
Encounter at Farpoint.
That's the one. Welcome.
Great episode. The first time you meet Q.
It's not, it's rubbish.
It's not, it's right. It's really bad.
Welcome to day two of GAK's Guitar of the Year? Gear of the Year 2014. Yesterday we did guitars, which is won by the Washburn Solar.
Look out the left field.
Yeah, a little bit.
I think it's proving that we're maturing as individuals. Yeah.
Definitely, definitely. We're some of us, not so much.
Well, look at that hair.
And the other category we did yesterday was 2014's Best Gear of 2013, won by the TC Electronics Ditto Looper. So today we are covering Best Amp and also Biggest Surprise of 2014. Should be some interesting stuff going down. Let's kick off with Best Amp. Matt Knight, what have you got to bring to the table?
I am going to start off with... I was going to start off my second favourite out of the two that I've picked.
At this stage, you can't say.
I know, but I'm going to start with the Boogie. I'm going to go for the Mesa Boogie Mini Mark V M25. That's what they call it. They call it like a really weird
name.
That's
a rogue, mate.
Look at the M25. It just goes up and just round.
You've got no idea.
No, I don't drive.
Going up and down.
Sort of rounded tone, really busy. Yeah, you know, really busy tone.
It's a really busy tone with a lot of pollution. I don't know. the Mesa Boogie Mini Mark V. We've only seen a few of them.
Okay.
If anything, they've kind of all been sold before they've really got here. So I've only had a brief chance to play, and actually one of the Westside rep, I've watched quite a few of his videos. He's been posting up a few.
Yeah.
And I just think it's great because Boogie have recently gone, you know, since they did the TA-15, then the Mini Rec, they've kind of gone, you know what, we've made some great amps, but
they're all too big.
They're all too big. Nowadays, they're all too big. And I watched a video of John Petrucci playing through this, and he was like, yeah, I'll just use these in my back line now.
Really? You know, does he?
Yeah.
The Mini Mark Fives?
Yeah, those.
Awesome.
And the Mini 1x12, the 1x12 rectifier cabs.
What?
Yeah. So he has two at the front of the stage for his monitors, and then two at the back with mics.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Mike's what?
Mike's his tech.
And the, right. the mechanics.
Micro-mechanics. Yeah. Well, that shouldn't really come as a huge amount of surprise, though, should it? Because I realise you don't want me to butt in. I'm going to.
No, Jay.
Peter, who is the demo guy for Westside and Boogie in the UK, he is also a session guitarist. And when he was down talking to us about these a year or so ago, and he was actually talking about the Mini Recs,
yeah.
And he said that. So this is a fella who has access to any Boogie product he wants.
Yeah.
And he's also a session guitarist, and he was playing a gig playing guitar for Will Young at Hyde Park. God knows how many tens of thousands of people were there. And he used a Mini Rec.
Yeah.
That's incredible, isn't it?
He could use anything he wanted. And he was like, yeah, I'll just take a Mini Rec on the tube.
But this is the thing about the Mini Mark 5s. They've not just gone, well, we'll just shrink the Mark 5. They've actually redesigned the circuit, so it's not as complex. It's two channels, but you've got all the extra switching options for different preamp styles. Even the first channel goes from clean to like super drive, because some people go, I don't want a clean sound and a lead sound, I want a crunch sound and a really distorted sound. You've got the full EQ in there, but the thing that wins it for me is they've also gone, well, what else should we put in there? Mesa Boogie Cab Clone. The new product that
in the amp has
got the cab clone in it. So you can have the Mini Mark 5, play a gig, and never plug it into a cab. You can literally go DI, straight out, boogie tone, emulated 412.
Can you have the cab clone and the speaker on at the same time?
You can indeed.
So you can go into the PA through the cab clone and then get your monitoring.
Yeah.
That's genius.
Two channels, the most versatile amp that's 25 watts I think you'll ever play through.
Yeah.
Great price. I think they're still sub 1500 quid. I think they're 1349 off the top of my head, which is I think for what you get is ridiculous.
How much is a cab clone on its own?
Cab clones are 289 quid.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
And the fact is, it's basically six amps in one with a graphic EQ.
Yeah.
That's all foot switchable.
Cracking little
amp. Just amazing.
Joe Branton, what are you bringing to the table?
Well, my first suggestion for best amp of the year is the best amp of the year.
Okay. That's a good start.
Yeah, it is a very good start. It's the Supro S6420 Thunderbolt, which is their single 15-inch combo, complete with all of two controls.
That's what we like.
Volume and tone.
I mean, that's how an amp should be.
But so I think it is. I mean, it's 35 watts, and I think it's just simplicity. They've got, you know, they don't have a full EQ on there because it sounds good. It doesn't need all the stuff that Mesa put on everything.
You go from one.
It just sounds good.
You go from one darker sound to that's really good to one lighter sound that's really good.
That is exactly how it works. Yeah, and it's, you know, it even looks good in its blue rhino hide finish, which we'd like to.
I mean, I would say
save the blue rhinos.
Yeah,
I would say it's probably the best looking amp you can buy.
I think it is. Yeah,
it's weird actually, because the reason that they, because these have only just been
reissued,
and it's because they actually found a pack of blue rhinos.
Yeah, yeah,
and they they haven't been able to produce them for so long. It's part of the tone. It's part of that horny tone.
Wow, blimey. So 115 is a bit of a weird speaker choice, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
It's a great speaker
but
choice.
That's why this is such a kind of everything about it is harking. It's a proper reissue.
Yeah,
like everything about it's harking back to kind of the an older style of guitar tone, right down to the speaker cone used. You know, to the simplicity on those controls. Now, I love that it's something that's actually giving you an alternative choice rather than kind of being something that claims to be a reissue. Oh, but you've also got all these different valve settings and, full parametric EQ and everything. This genuinely is just a straight-up reissue of something that sounded wicked that loads of big players were using at the time. And, yeah.
And now they're back.
And now they're back.
I think it's great.
Yeah, yeah. And absolutely... We've missed them whilst they've been gone, and we've kind of forgotten that they were ever a thing, and I'm really glad to have them back. I think they're wicked.
Jay Cross, what are you bringing?
I'm sort of going down the same sort of route as Joe, actually. My first choice is the 962 Hanwha Blues Breaker.
Okay.
So good.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it? Like, so the Marshall Blues Breaker is just, I mean...
It's the amp.
It's the thing, isn't it? I mean, it's, you just look at it and you're like, yeah, that's what a guitar amp should look like, innit? You know, that's what a guitar amp should look. And then you pick it up and you're like, yeah, I mean, that's really heavy.
That's proper.
That's like, there's a lot of, there's so much, like, it's, there's so much tone in this amp. Like, it's so heavy.
Mm. It's a box
it's
of tone.
All, it's all in there. But no, it's a hand-wired, all British-made version of... the Blues Breaker, which has been so the Blues Breaker reissues, which have been so popular for so long, but this is like a proper hand wired built in Milton Keynes, just
turn it up and
they just sound so good.
Very indicative of where Marshall have gone in 2014 as well, because they've not really released any new products.
Well, they've taken kind of a step back in that, you know, so they discontinued all of the you know, over the last few years, they've discontinued like the Haze stuff and the Mode 4
the
stuff.
MAs.
The MA stuff. And, you know, there's, so there's lots of things that have been discontinued and they're sort of slimming down and they're sort of going back to their sort of core, you know, their core values, if you will. And, you know, I really don't think, I don't think they ever, I think the 1962 Bluesbreaker is the best amp Marshall ever built.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, you know, my only issue with it is just how heavy it is, because they are incredibly heavy, but it needs to be for all of that. For,
that's where the tone lives.
Well, that's where the tone lives. As discussed, there's loads of tone in there. But, you know, in all seriousness, it needs to be that heavy because of the, you know, because of the power rating and because of the speakers and the quality of the wood that they use for the chassis.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's an absolutely incredible amp and it looks the Don. It just looks absolutely amazing. And, yeah, I mean, it's just... You just you plug it in and you don't have to play anything. You just sort of... We plug it in and you let the valves warm up and then you sort of let it... You hear that feedback sort of kick in.
It's does like, the business.
This is proper. It's proper. Yeah. It's a really exciting new old amp.
So, talking of new amps, I'm going to go jump to the complete opposite end of the spectrum. Mm. You two have just talked about combos that have got, what, maximum like four controls on the top? What's the Bluesbreaker got on there? Not many.
Not many.
Not many. Five, maybe. So... I'm going for the big product launch of 2014 at NAMM this year. The only thing that really had like a press conference, the Line 6 Amplify. Yeah. Now, we've talked about them a lot, certainly a lot in the kind of wake of NAMM, really, kind of post-NAMM podcasts were kind of consumed with it. And I think what we've seen with the Amplify over this year is kind of an expansion of the range. You know, it just started off as the two combos, the 75 and the 150.
Yeah.
They did the FX100, which is the Amplify and like a floor pedal.
Yeah.
And just this week, the Amplify TT, which is like a desktop version. I guess it's kind of the pod killer, really.
The THR is also like a desktop amp. It's kind of like the alternative to that, isn't it? Just the ultimate desktop.
But no speaker in the Amplify TT. It's just the kind of brain.
Just the box, isn't it?
But, I mean... What I like about the amplifiers is that it was a totally new approach. You know, putting five speakers, four of which are like full range, into a guitar amp, and then a really good sounding guitar speaker as well. But I mean, the best thing I think really about the amplifier is the app. The app is amazing, great for editing. Obviously, there's all the tone library stuff.
It's not an afterthought because it's such an integral part of how it works. So they really needed to nail that.
Yeah, I think the one thing that hasn't quite taken off as much as they'd hoped is like the tone libraries. I mean, there's a lot going on there, but I don't think there's kind of the scope.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of people who like, you know, a certain type of music, particularly like rock stuff, are buying amplifiers. They're not so much towards the metal end of things, but... I'm sure that'll come in time, and you know they're presets, and they can build on these libraries.
I think you know with the TT coming out, so people using more as like you say, like an alternative to a pod. Yeah. I think that's where you'll see a lot more of the tone library coming.
But what I really like is just the editing. You know, the editing on that software is so easy with the sliders and stuff. Just took a real. I mean, it's the first thing that Line 6 have done for a while, which has stepped away from that pod concept, and you know. Gone away from anything they've really done in the past and just taken a kind of bit of a leap into the future, really. And I think that's why it kind of deserves to be considered for 2014 Gear of the Year, definitely. What's your second choice?
My second choice, and actually, I love this series of amps. This is the newest one for this year because the other two didn't come out this year. It's the 68 Silverface series from Fender. And this year they released the Vibralux. And it's just incredible. The thing I love about these 68s is they've gone... When I first heard them, I was like, surely all they've done is just change the... But how much more different can you... How can it be? And it was like, well... When you delve into it, they've upgraded the transformers, so you've got much higher spec transformers than you have in the blackface ones. And then they've gone, well, we've got to make the channels different. So channel one is actually a modified Bassman circuit. It's, you know, it's that classic 5E3 kind of tweed style, really fat, really warm, really crunchy when you start turning it up. And the second channel is more of your classic kind of blackface, sparkling Fender clean sound. But the amazing thing is that reverb and vibrato work on both channels.
Yeah.
So you've effectively, if you use an AB box, you've got a two-channel amplifier. Or if you use an ABY box, you can use both at the same time and you can, you know...
And that sounds Wicked.
You're literally cascading one preamp into another, and it just... The great thing about those, you know, like other amps we've talked in here, like the Marshall, like the Supra, it's one of those ones you just turn up and all the tone is in the amp already. You know, yeah. You don't need anything else. It is there, you just plug in and away you go. But for me, I was sold on that first channel, that modified Bassman circuit. It's just so nice.
We talked about these quite a lot this year, and kind of as a lingering thing from last year, the whole 68 range. Yeah. They just nailed... Like, it's been a while, I think, since Fender have done a kind of vintage style amp that's got a bit of a twist on it.
Rather than just going, oh, well, the circuit was like that, so we've made that. They've actually decided to do something with it rather than kind of just not rely solely on its...
And for years, I think they kind of rested on the fact that they did the twin, just, you know, the standard twin.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, if you want to buy a Fender amp, you want something like loud, okay, just get a twin. That's what we do.
Yeah, because they don't make the twin anymore.
They did for a long time. Yeah. And now this has kind of come along, and, you know, they're doing the reissue stuff, the other reissue stuff as well. But the silver faces are what have really impressed me.
Yeah.
Definitely. Joe Branton.
Yes.
What's your second pick?
Well, my second pick is kind of the opposite end from the Supra, I guess. I'm more in line with your choice, Mr. Beckham. I'm going for the Black Star, the ID Core series of amplifiers. Now, they do a 5, a 10, and a 20-watt version.
Which one are you going to pick if you have to?
Well, I guess if I have to pick one, I'll just go for the 10 because it's bang in the middle.
Okay.
So the ID Core stuff from Black Star, I think, represents a bit of a game changer in practice amps or entry level amplification for people. The ID Core, the concept of it, that they're bringing essentially enough stuff without overcrowding a practice amplifier, like I think. Maybe we've seen from some of the smaller Vox stuff or Line 6 stuff in the past. So they've given this amplifier four individual channels from clean to crunch to an overdrive, as well as a handful of modulation. So reverb and some delay on there, and the ability to kind of USB record from a practice amp, which I think is wicked, and the introduction of their new Blackstar Insider software, which
is incredible.
Yeah, brilliant. Allows people to kind of design their own sounds on the ID Core amplifiers and share them across an online community, which I think is wicked and kind of maybe something we've not seen at a practice amp.
Well, I guess, level? Speaking to what I was on the amplifier, I mean, you know, the 75 kind of is a home amp, and, you know, that's got the tone sharing stuff.
And there
in
was
there.
The Fuse software that you could get with the Fender Mustangs.
Oh, that's true.
But I don't think it was done as well as the ID Core stuff. I've been very, over the last couple of years, very sort of vocally critical of some of the Blackstar stuff. And not critical, but sort of sceptical of it.
It wasn't your thing.
I mean, we kind of didn't do it for a long time, and, you know,
it was a bit misunderstood.
Well, yeah, and we ended up, you know, all of us kind of formed our opinions on it, not on like a fresh one out of the box in the shop, but like maybe one that had been gigged for 10 years or been in the rehearsal room for 10 years, and actually they kind of don't sound like that if you look after them in the way you
absolutely,
should.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. But the ID Core stuff, especially, has just blown my mind on how good they are.
This is it. And kind of when I was describing it just now, I was thinking, man, I don't feel like I'm saying anything that different. And I think with the ID Core stuff, it really is. I remember the first time I heard one, and I was amazed at how much clarity there was in the sound, at the volume it was being played at. Bear in mind, I think I was listening to the smallest one, which was a 5-watt amplifier.
I really like the wide stereo effect, which is obviously the stereo amps that have got that wide throw. I think that, for me, is what makes a difference, and why I think they're kind of head and shoulders above other practice bits at the moment, really.
But the fact that the one I'm going for then, the 10-watt one, comes in at like £119 for something with some really good effects, really good channel changing, and then access to an online community where you can download umpteen patches from other people. I think that is absolutely nothing money wise to part with for something that good.
I mean, I paid that sort of money when I bought a PV Rage 158 in 2000 and or whatever it is, maybe like 1998, And it, or you could literally plug a guitar in, turn it up, and then press a big white button that said distortion, and that was pretty much it. I mean, now you're looking at built-in effects, wide stereo throw, you know, plug it, record over USB. I mean, it's just a whole different
auxiliary
world.
Auxiliary in. And
Yeah. So I'm going for. Wait, no. Jay is going for. Almost skipped.
I like how you've sort of you took a little step back there because I'm about to bring in the single best product of 2014.
Okay.
Which is the Orange Dual Dark series.
Nice.
I'm gonna run with the 50 because I think so. They did two models. They did the 50 and they did the 100. And I'm going to roll with the 50 because I think it's... it kind of is a bit more us, isn't it? It's like lower wattage.
50 watt amps, that's what we're into.
I mean, it's, you know, lower wattage amps. But so the thing that I loved about the 50, so it's two channels. Channel B is just the channel from the Dark Terror.
Yeah.
And then channel A, which is really where the magic is a completely new, redesigned, aggressive, but like not metal channel. Yeah. And it's like, the fact that they called it the Dual Dark, I think is great because that's what, that is the exact word I would use to describe that channel. It's dark. It's really dark. It's not metal, but it's heavy. You can use it for metal, or you can use it for like really aggressive, like rock and roll, really like punchy punk stuff. But it also cleans up okay. You know, you're not gonna get as much headroom as you would from like a one of the OR series or obviously anything like a Boogie or a Fender or anything like that. But they are such a versatile amp. They just sound absolutely amazing. And the thing that really clinches it for me, which I think is a new feature, I don't think I've ever seen on any other amp, is there's the attenuator is foot switchable.
Mm, that is very good.
Such a cool feature.
Super useful.
You know, you don't need a boost pedal anymore. You know, I mean, obviously Matt will still have one, but like, you don't need one.
But they're also working in a different way because a boost in the front end is only ever going to add gain. And you can boost certain frequencies to kind of give the illusion that something's louder. But what you're actually doing by turning an attenuator off is actually making it louder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, the only thing that I think this amp is missing is reverb, but you know, I would sort of always say that anyway. And you know, by and large, I think the people who will buy this amp probably aren't using reverb anywhere. If they are, they're it's all pedals and stuff anyway.
It's not really Orange's thing, is it? I mean, they don't do that many amps these days with reverb in.
No.
So the Rockerverb.
Thunderverb, you know. But by and large, you know, it's just a straight down the line, you know, ballsy. I think they are seriously incredible amps. I remember watching the video that Luke at NAMM with Aid from Orange. And he, like, Aid is so cool, man.
So the story behind that is we got into that little demo booth and like, hi, Aid, we're going to do this video. And he went, yeah, these amps are great. And it was literally the loudest thing I've ever heard in the smallest room you can imagine. Basically, there was two 412s next to each other. That was one wall. And then there wasn't enough depth for another 412 along the other wall. And I was in there with a tripod, with Luke, with James from Orange, and Aid from Orange. Four people in, like, basically a toilet cubicle-sized space. And this thing was so unbelievably loud. It sounded immense, but it did hurt quite a lot. And I think that is a sign of quite a good amplifier.
What, the fact that you could have it that loud in that close quarters and you still had the clarity. Really
good. Well, not just, I mean, just that it sounded good and it appeared to have the power to, you know, murder a small village. Just, it was really, really loud.
They just sound so good. They sound incredible. And I know I said the same thing with the Crush Pro stuff from yesterday's podcast, but I think Orange is, like, at the moment especially, are really pushing the boundaries and really like opening people up and being like, coming in, this is what's good. They sort of don't really care what other people are doing. They're just going, let's just make something absolutely banging, and they've gone out and done it. And this amp is so good. I've been, from day one, I've been excited about this. And then when they came down to demo it for us, I was just like, yeah, fine, cool, great. And I think it's like, it's a viable, like a real viable option for people who otherwise would have just gone, I want an Engel, or I want a PV, you know, yeah. I want a 6505.
Or even just, I want an Orange, but there's nothing heavy enough.
Well, yeah, absolutely, absolutely, 100%. Yeah. You know, these are, they're great. They're absolutely great. And they look so good as well. You know, Black Tolex.
J yeah. Cross, I see you, your Orange Dark Terror, Dual Dark Dual Series. Dark. And I raise you one Randall Satan. Yes, the heaviest, Satan. Most... Yeah. Balls to the wall, unbelievable, just rock guitar amplifier that I've heard for years. It takes a lot to impress me. We've said, you know, I've talked in the past about how I think the Marshall DSL-50 is the greatest loud rock head ever made. Man, this thing had me questioning that.
I mean, the fact that it's not got one, it's not got two, but it has three gain controls.
Yeah. That's what I like. This is for people who don't know, this is another signature model from Ola England, a guy who came down to the clinic, and you know, his guitar won our guitar of the year on yesterday's podcast. I seriously think this could be the gear of the year. The Satan, again, you know, last year we were not talking about Randall at all, and now I think they've made one of the best rock guitar amps in the last 20 years.
The fact is, you can change valves without needing to rebrise. Yep. So it takes loads of different valves. Three different gain controls that cover three tonal ranges as well. So you don't have to have all three on.
Yep.
You can take two out, you can just have one. So you can, you know, they're all set to different frequencies. And a great clean sound. It's it's not just like, oh, here's a huge metal sound, there you go. It's like, no, this is like an amazing rock guitar sound. And when you actually pair it with something like his guitar, you get something with just like so much definition and so much clarity.
Well, it's the same thing as the Solar. Whilst it's for Ola England, so it has a very specific look. Like, we're talking about a sort of
it's called the Satan.
A great fronted amp with a red backlight to it.
Yeah,
yeah, it's very much Ola England's amp, as much as the Solar in sort of a satin black is his guitar. But actually, when it comes down to it, they're incredibly versatile, both pieces of equipment.
Yeah.
Just because, rather than, I guess, just a metal guy from a band designing this, it's been designed by this absolute gear geek.
It's a guy who reviews amps for a living. You know, he's going to make a great amp. He's going to work with Randall to design one because he knows what a great amp is. You know, he's played hundreds of them. You know, it's obviously an amp that, you know, they've thought about, and there's kind of a lot of love and a lot of kind of time gone into it. You know, it's not like they've taken just an existing Randall and slapped Ola England's name on it. This is built from the ground up, with all of his experience and all of his knowledge, you know. So there we go. That's why I think the Satan deserves to be part of this kind of negotiation as to the best amp of the year. It's just awesome. So, chaps, what are we going to say? So, Matt, out of your two, which one are you putting forward to your final considerations?
I'm going to go for the Mark V Mini. I think it's just a better product. It's more versatile, and it's new enough and it's different enough to anything else out there.
Joe Branton, which two are you putting forward?
Whilst I think the Blackstar is really innovative and brilliant, I am going to put forward the Supro.
Are you? Wow.
I'm putting the Supro forward because I think it's absolutely wicked.
That is controversial.
I know we normally pick things that are forward thinking, and that's almost kind of the idea, but I just think the Supro is so good, and it's been such a long time since we've had something this simple, this good, and this much of a true reissue. It's redefining the word reissue, and for that reason.
You're shaking things up. Supro goes through. Jay Cross, what are we saying?
I mean, Orange Dual Dark. There's okay. No, like, it's the best amp, it's the best product of this year, obviously. Like, you boys would be upset with me if I didn't put it forward because you need to vote for it, because you want to vote for it, obviously. So, you know.
I am going to go for, as much as I enjoy what Line 6 have done with the amplifier, and I like the fact there's a few different products, I mean, the Randall Satan is just, like I said, I don't think I could have been any more descriptive about how much I like the sound of that amp. It just blows everything else out of the water. So yeah, Randall Satan is going through. So Matt Knight, if you had to vote on one of those that wasn't yours, which one are you going for?
Randall Satan.
Whoa!
It's the best one. It's the best one. Sorry, Jay. It's the best one.
Joe Ranton.
I really think that the Supro should win. I know I can't vote for the Supro.
You cannot vote for the Supro.
Which makes me want to tactically vote against the Randall. but I'm going to have to vote for the Randall. And I love Orange, but I just think the Randall...
Jay can't vote for his own app.
I know, and this isn't... this honestly isn't a tactical thing. I was going to go Blackstar if you'd included it. But Mess Boogie.
Mark 5 Mini. Yeah.
The Mark 5 Mini, man. Yeah. It's great. I don't get me wrong. I really like what Ola England's done. I think that the Randall is great. It's called the Satan. I mean, it's called the Satan. That alone is great. But I think the Mark 5 Mini is an incredible amp.
I guess it comes down to my vote. And do you know what? Out of the three that aren't the Satan, I would have said the Dual Dark.
I can't believe no one's saying the Supra.
The Supra is a great amp, but I think, you know, it is a reissue of something that has existed before. And the good thing about all of these is that they're things that take a massive step forward. I really like the Supra, and it's a great rock and roll amp, but these all do something very different. That means, by the slimmest of margins, the Randall Satan progresses to the Gear of the Year.
So Ola England has won our guitar header. And our best guitar of the year so far.
So four guys
and
who don't listen to metal have
picked two.
A complete metal.
But that's what's so good about these, I think, is that they're not strictly metal instruments, you know. Yeah. Well done to Randall and to Ola England. The Satan progresses to the next round. Also, honourable mentions to the Dual Dark, the Supro, and the Mesa Boogie Mark 5. So one more category to do tonight on this podcast, and that is the biggest surprise of 2014. Let's do a quick roundup. Matt, what is your biggest surprise of 2014 and why, in a very short sentence?
Laney IRTX expansion cab. Okay. So
yes.
Good.
Yes.
I bought one.
What a brilliant idea.
I think the most
it doesn't look like an amp.
It doesn't look like an amp. It's a completely different product to anything out there, but it is the most... It's kind of like the Swiss Army knife of cabs.
It does so much. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? And we were just going, oh, it'd be great if it did this. And you were like, yeah, it does.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it literally it does
this?
Everything.
Yeah, it does this. Does it? Does it?
It does everything. It is the... Yeah, I would say just take it along with any amp you gig.
Absolutely.
And it will just give you so many applications.
Biro, bottle opener.
I reckon you could open a bottle on the edge of it. It's made of really sturdy wood.
You do that thing where you put the edge on it and then you bash it with your
fingers. We do not advise that you do this with an amp.
I'll show you.
Pass
me that bottle. I'll do it on your table.
No, I like this coffee table. It's nice. Joe Branton, what have you picked and why?
That was really quick. We didn't explain anything about the extension cable.
Yeah, Matt said he really likes it.
Okay, fine,
go back and listen to the other podcast show.
Yeah, okay, fine. I am going for Blackstar again, and this time I'm choosing the Blackstar Fly 3 watt amplifier.
Why is it so surprising?
It's so surprising because you can expand it into... It has an extension cab which allows you to expand it to 6 watts, making you a tiny stack. It's two channel. It's got delay on there, and they're completely flat response speakers, so you can also use it as a hi-fi.
But why is it surprising?
Because it sounds...
Oh, right, because it's ridiculously good. It's incredibly loud, and...
This is what I was trying to get out of you. It looks like a tiny little battery-powered pocket amp.
Yeah, don't be fooled. This is the thing. This is the thing. When people see these tiny battery-powered pocket amps, you people think, oh, well, that would be good if I have no room in my lounge for a 10-watt practice amp, or if I want something tiny for sort of busking on the flight. Now, this actually sounds brilliant and louder than any... 10-watt practice amp you've bought before.
It's crazy.
They are ridiculously good.
And one of the best tape echo sounds I've ever heard.
In a tiny little
amp. And crucially, buy one and use it as your PC speakers, because you can plug it in mains as well. You don't have to run it off of batteries.
And it'll do and then full range.
Yeah, exactly. And that doubles up as PC speakers, guitar amp, ninja.
Jay Cross, what was your most surprising product of the year?
Most surprising product of the year, without a doubt, was the Gibson 2015 Les Paul. That's right.
Les Paul.
That's not a typo, folks. I'm saying it out loud.
Do you know, when me and Mark got the Gibson 2015 catalogue through, we thought it was a typo.
It's not a typo. The extra S stands for small body. Slim body.
Keep going.
Slim body.
You can get through this.
Slim bodied.
What is so surprising about the Les Paul?
Have you not seen one?
Well, yeah, I mean it's literally surprising in that you look at it from the front.
No, I'm being needlessly confrontational. I apologise.
I know you want to win.
It's the Les Paul is okay. It's a Gibson Les Paul that's like half the width, half the thickness,
half the depth. I would say not the width.
The depth is
so like an ESP.
Yeah, kind of, but it's. And I don't clips. Want to use the word better because that's not quite the right word, but it's more like a Les Paul than it is like a Horizon, for example.
An Eclipse.
And yeah, it's just really, really thin. You've got all of the features that you've got from the 2015 range, so it's got the new design neck shape, it's got the brass nut, which I think is such a great innovation. You know, yeah. I've heard people say that aesthetically they're not into it, but as I've made abundantly clear enough, I don't really care what guitars look like. I mean, I prefer if they're white because I really like Olympic white. But really, I don't really care what they look like all that much. That brass nut adds so much. Like, it's to the Les Paul what I think the brass saddles do to a Telecaster. You know, it just brings out that resonance, that really like amazing ringy sound. And then you've also got the G-Force, but it's just smaller. It's really, really, really thin. And we were just like, this is going to be so pony. It's going to be dreadful. And Matt came back from doing the demo of it first time and would not stop going on about it. He was like, this is honestly one of the best Les Pauls I've ever played. And I don't think any of us, I think we still can't believe how good it is. Les Paul. The S stands for slim.
My biggest surprise this year came from the Boss ME80. I say that because...
Why was it a surprise?
Because surprised himself.
Because at the beginning of the year, I never thought I would own a multi-effects. And I did. I bought one, and it is awesome. And I'm considering, although I've had a bit of a reshuffle building this pedal board, I'm considering keeping the ME80. It's got so much stuff in it.
Yeah.
It's so much stuff. And I think it's a real return to form for multi-effects in general.
I agree. I totally agree.
And I think it's kind of a symbol almost of how surprising it can be when you pick up like a bit of digital gear like that. And actually these days you plug it in and it sounds wicked.
Yeah.
It comes with all the features that we discussed earlier on the Black Star. You know, you can plug it in and you get, you know, tone sharing and stuff like that. And you've got some USB recording. For what you pay for it, there's so much stuff in there, and that's why it was so surprising to me. It's a real return to form for digital multi effects. What are we saying?
We're going round, are we?
We're going round. Matt Knight.
Picking a product that's not my own.
What's the most surprising out of all those things?
Do you know what? I'm really torn between two on that list. I really am. And I'm going to say the Black Star, because to be honest, the Les Paul was great. Mm-hmm. Well, the Les Paul was great when I plugged it in, but it sounds like a great Les Paul.
And this is the most surprising.
The Fly 3, we got out of the box and I was like, oh. And then I plugged it in and was like, this thing is the best thing I've heard for a long time.
I shot the video with the guy from Black Star.
Drew.
Who came down, with Drew. And when he unpackaged it,
I mean, he was like, it looked pony.
I had to sort of mic it up with a 57, and I was a bit sort of like,
why are we doing
what
this?
What am I doing with my day? And then it sounded amazing.
I remember specifically when Drew came in and went, I've got something to show you, boys. I opened it up, and me and Matt just looked at each other and just rolled our eyes, just like, another pony little practice amp. What? I don't care. Don't care about this.
Yeah. It literally turned the idea of mini practice amps
on its head.
And I mean, we sold all of the ones that came in straight away, and like, if you want a wicked product Christmas gift, yeah, then that's
and
the
if
one
you get the if you get the extension cab, you get it in a package for 80 quid.
Yeah,
yeah, that's very good. Joe Branton, what's your most surprising bit of kit on that list?
Obviously, I can't vote for mine, which I think is genuinely brilliant. But there is one that I do think is better actually than mine, okay, which is the Laney IRT.
Okay, X. Just so surprising because of the amount of stuff it can do.
Just ridiculous. I mean, when I first saw it in the shop, I thought someone had left it in the wrong bit.
Because it looks like a PA.
Yeah, because it looks like a monitor, I thought it was like left over from one of our events or something that we'd done, and we'd just left it out on the side and no one had put it back. But actually, no, it's a wicked sounding, ridiculously versatile amp. And it just goes to show Laney, you know, thinking about stuff and not being limited by what an amplifier should look like to make something that is actually brilliant.
Jay Cross, where are you going?
I'm going Blackstar Fly 3 as well. Yeah. I just, in terms of like genuine, I mean, the Les Paul, it was huge. When we saw that, we were just like, this is going to be a dreadful mistake. This is a terrible, terrible mistake. And then we plugged it in and we were like, this is an incredible innovation. This is so good. But I don't think I was as surprised as I was with the Fly 3. It has completely changed the way that you should look at those micro amps, like those really small practice amps. And I think they're going to be really, really popular.
I'm going to join you guys in saying the Blackstar Fly 3, which takes us to 3 votes for the Blackstar. It's just an unbelievable bit of kit for what it is. It has changed all of our minds about those mini amps. So Blackstar Fly 3 is our most surprising bit of gear 2014. Woo! And joins the other bits of kit that we've picked so far. 2014's best guitar, the Washburn Solar, the best amp, which is the Randall Satan, the 2013 Ditto, and that will go through to the final, the Blackstar Fly 3. Thanks for joining us. More again tomorrow, where we're going to be looking at best pedal and listener's choice.
Yeah.
And we'll go into the mix. And let's see you tomorrow.
Cheers.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye.